is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer on the Raw Deal, and glad to be back with Revolution Radio again. I'm very pleased that this is working out so well, and that it's possible to be here to share with you my latest, and with Mitchell at the helm. It's just a real pleasure. I want to start with a Democratic National Convention, and I'm going to open the lines for calls early today. Conventions used to be a fascinating experience. There's lots of tension, lots of excitement, lots of people, human beings typically jammed together in a very confined space. But that's not what we had starting yesterday. Instead, we had 2 hours, kind of sedate, from like 8 to 10 p.m. Central. And in this case, they had a host of speakers. Actually, let me count them, 11 different speakers, including Bernie Sanders, who did his best to rally the troops. I thought he was not very kind to Donald Trump and overly generous to Joe Biden, whom we all know is brain damaged and utterly incompetent. Andrew Cuomo, whom I consider to be one of the four most likely replacements for Biden before the debates, because they can't allow Biden to actually confront Donald Trump on the stage, the whole scheme would fall apart. He was there. He at least has a very somber countenance. He comes across as a serious guy. He's got major problems, including, of course, that he sent COVID patients into nursing homes and caused some staggering number of deaths in New York, and where the fact that de Blasio is mucking up New York so bad that those who are wealthy and able to move are fleeing New York because he's abolished the police. In effect, he's everything, all the major stores on Fifth Avenue are boarded up. He's actually created an opportunity for Donald Trump to take New York. And mind you, if Trump were to carry New York, and frankly, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, given the catastrophes that have befallen that state, the Democrats would most certainly not have a prayer. I don't think they have a prayer anyway. So let's just say if the Democrats couldn't even keep New York, they don't have a chance in hell. They featured Governor Gretchen Whitmer, widely despised in Michigan. She's proven to be a monster, a petty tyrant. I think every resident of Michigan thinks she is contemptible. They had Amy Klobuchar on, smiling. And then the event of the evening was former First Lady Michelle Obama, about whom more to come. I think Marianne Williamson, who'd been a long enduring Democratic candidate. I mean, she lasted many times longer than Kamala Harris, who dropped out when there were still at least 15 Democratic candidates vying for the nomination. And yet Joe Biden, or really those who are controlling him, since he's nothing more than a puppet, reached back to Kamala to bring her on the stage and present her as a black candidate when she's in fact not black. Well, her father's Jamaican, her mother's from India. So she could be described as East Asian or Caribbean, but she's not black. And I think many real Americans, African-Americans are find it highly contemptible that she's being described as black. Well, Marianne Williamson lasted a whole lot longer than Kamala Harris, and here was her summation. DNC, like binge-watching a Marriott commercial. It was that bad. Everyone was smiling, making nice, making vapid, meaningless comments, saying how Joe Biden good, orange man bad, but there was no substance to it at all. No substance at all. They didn't have arguments. They didn't have facts. They weren't even relating to current events. I mean, meanwhile, what's going on out there? Well, here are some late news reports. This is August 17th. Rioters attack, injure multiple cops in residential neighborhoods. Police officers in Portland were violently attacked on Saturday night by far less extremists who damaged property and use numerous weapons against law enforcement. What do the Democrats think? We're not noticing this is going on? Journalist Andy Ngo, who recently testified in front of the U.S. Senate on Antifa, highlighted some of the incidents that transpired over the night. A dog and a person in a wheelchair at the front of the Antifa line being used as shields. Ngo tweeted, Antifa shut down Southeast Burnside again as they confronted police at the Penumbra Kelly building on day 80 of the violent protests and riots. So what are the Democrats going to do about it? Here's another stunning story. Burn Hugo down. Black Lives Matter and Antifa activists terrorized small Minnesota town in broad daylight. Dozens of this is August 15th, dozens of Black Lives Matter activists invaded the Twin Cities suburb of Hugo, Minnesota on Saturday afternoon. The protest was meant to intimidate the family and neighbors of Bob Kroll, the president of the Minneapolis Police Union. Nice choice. One leader of the demonstration was Democratic politician John Thompson, who recently won the primary for a safe Democrat seat in the Minnesota House. Thompson shrieked obscenities at community members, declaring that the effing grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan lived in the town. Well, that's nice. I mean, this is a Democratic candidate for the Minnesota House of Representatives. I mean, unbelievable. At another point in his tirade, Thompson threatened the locals, screaming, "You think we give an F about burning Hugo down? And I didn't come here to be peaceful." He also said that blue lives, that is the police, don't mean S-H-I-T to black people. I mean, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So here you have the National Democratic Party with an opportunity to explain all this away, to make amends, and they do nothing about it. They don't even admit it's going on. Meanwhile, we have Black Lives Matter making outrageous demands. Get this. Some in the Black Lives Matter movement are no longer calling for equity and fairness in the mold of Martin Luther Jr., King Jr. Instead, they want people's possessions, even if they have to take them by force. Earlier in the week, a group of demonstrators in Seattle demanded white people give up their homes. They claim gentrification, the process of restoring unfit properties and rebuilding communities, drove them and their parents out of their homes and communities. How, instead of protesting in the street, they selectively targeted and harassed homeowners. Black Lives, here's a nice photograph. Black Lives Matter mobs demands white people move out of neighborhoods and give their homes to black people. Here's more. They would have done well to focus on this. August 17th, Chicago cracks down. Cops swoop in, end unrest. Chicago police were ready for a massive protest in the city's downtown that quickly went out of control Saturday night, arresting at least 24 demonstrators who Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said came prepared for a fight. Well, this Mayor Lightfoot is a lightweight herself. She's a brainless, but she's the Democrat mayor of Chicago. Chicago police officers were following a large protest hosted by several anti-racism and anti-police brutality groups, though not Chicago's chapter of Black Lives Matter, that began on the city's lakefront and then threatened to move north toward the city's Magnificent Mile shopping district, which is still reeling from looting and rioting earlier last week. After one officer was hit with a skateboard and another punched, the demonstration erupted into a clash between Chicago police and protesters, which ended with protesters being kettled and allowed out of the city's downtown Loop business district only one at a time. Well, that's going to win them a lot of votes. Mitchell, I'm just stunned, stupefied. I find it's unbelievable that the Democrats aren't addressing the issues on the public's mind. You're welcome to join me here, my friend, and I'm so glad to have you back in the studio producing for me. Mitchell, what do you take? Did you watch any of this absurdity last night?
No. It's a dog and pony show, you know, let's be honest, you know. It's all fake. It's, you know, I was laughing to myself because I have this, there's a clip on Twitter of Cardi B, who just interviewed, you know, Joe Biden. And it's like, the question is, what in the hell is wrong with these people? They embrace, you know, this cultural Marxism of BLM, you know, the big lying Marxists, as I call them, because they're just using racism as a weapon, no different than, you know, the Democrat Party did for more than 100 years during Jim Crow. And all they've done is, you know, flip this switch. When Trump wins in November, you're going to see full scale riots like we had in the 1960s. Not these limited Klantifa actions that you're seeing in Portland. It's not going to be good because the Democrats have said if we don't get back in power, we're just going to riot, and they've thrown democracy out the window.
And Mitchell, know where all those all those large-scale riots are going to occur. They're going to be in Seattle. They're going to be in Portland. They're going to be in San Francisco. They're going to be in Los Angeles. They're going to be in Minneapolis. They're going to be in Chicago. They're going to be in New York City. All Democrat-controlled strongholds. I mean, the Democrats are destroying themselves, Mitchell. They're, you know, de Blasio, as I already mentioned, is driving the wealthy out of New York. And it's that tiny 5% of the most well-off who pay 60% of the taxes. The city's not going to be able to recover. And here you had all this brilliant work by Rudy Giuliani, of whom I'm not a great fan. He was clearly implicated in 9/11, but he was a great mayor for New York City, had cleaned things up. He got rid of all the strip clubs and adult magazine and movie stores, you know, in Times Square. He really cleaned things up. And now de Blasio, virtually overnight, has turned the city into rubble. I mean, it's embarrassing. And it's all these Democrat strongholds, Mitchell. It's just it corresponds to where all the gun violence occurs. It's these same communities, because they've created these free fire zones. They're taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, which means, of course, the only ones who have the guns are the criminals. They're not going to give up their guns. That's what makes them criminals. They're not law-abiding. I mean, the stupidity. I have this colleague, Dean Ryan, who is saying he was watching a line to purchase guns. I think it may have been in Austin, Texas. He said it was so long, you would think they were giving away free turkeys for Thanksgiving, Mitchell. I mean, the public knows the whole Democratic gun control agenda is a farce. You got the chief of police of Seattle warning citizens as she's on the verge of her own resignation because she gained no support from the city council. You're on your own. You have to fend for yourself, have to be able to defend yourself. We've got the message, Mitchell. And I'm telling you, the Democrats might as well just put a gun up to their head and pull the trigger, because they are committing political suicide on a scale never before witnessed in the history of the United States.
Well, they certainly are. They appear to be throwing the election. And basically it's because, you know, they don't have a platform that can compete. The only platform they have is, you know, socialism, and, you know, giving your stuff away to somebody else. And in fact, on a hot mic, I believe it was Michelle Obama who was caught saying that, you know, this is a great time to redistribute wealth and the way the system is in America. That, you know, that's a problem. That's a serious problem, especially for me. Because, you know, that means that we actually have communism and socialism, and that, you know, I forget who said it, you know, the illegal they do right away, the other takes a little bit of time or something along those.
Takes a little longer.
Those effect, you know. So we really do have this, it's a criminal idea of bureaucratic thinking that has that's now persuasive within our government and the bureaucracy itself. I really don't see how our government actually treats, I talked about this briefly the other day, our government treats our elected officials as if they were insurgents coming in to fight the government. When in fact, you know, these are the administrators that we've chosen, and we've chosen because we want them to administrate our government a certain way. What has happened is the bureaucracy has taken on that life of its own. That's why it believes that, you know, it could rig the after effects of the 2016 election and essentially try to politically assassinate Donald Trump. The entire system did this, not just Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, not just the Obama executive branch, but many parts of our government participated in that.
And let me pick up on that, Mitchell, not just politically assassinate, they actually tried to assassinate President Trump at the State of the Union address. He was supposed to shake the hand of Nancy Pelosi. We have further photographs that confirm and further reading of lips by an expert who has been following all the footage from the State of the Union. She had a piece of tape on her hand that had a poison that would induce a heart attack within hours. And when she extended her hand to the Donald, she turned it in an awkward way at an angle to conceal the fact she had this poisonous tape on her palm. But Trump already knew what was coming and didn't shake hands. It created a bit of a kerfuffle at the time because it was so inappropriate, one would have thought, for the president not to shake the hand of the Speaker of the House, but he was trying to kill her. I'm telling you, I have seen enough of this to speak with confidence. This is for real. There was an attempt by the Democrats to assassinate the president at the State of the Union. Nancy Pelosi was the key, and Nancy Pelosi knows she's been outed by Trump. This is another reason the Democrats are so desperate. A lot of these people are going to hang at the end of a noose. I'm not speaking figuratively, I'm speaking literally. You may recall, Mitchell, way back when Matt Lauer, during a town hall meeting, asked Hillary a question about her emails that hadn't already been vetted. Normally, Donna Brazile would let Hillary know each and every question that she would be asked during a town hall. She was furious. She lit into Donna Brazile. I mean, it was embarrassing how she humiliated Donna Brazile there. But she also added, you know, don't you know? Don't you get it? If he wins, we're all going to hang. And she meant it literally, Mitchell. She meant it literally. I mean, I'm telling you, they know what's coming. If Trump is reelected, and I do believe a whole lot of indictments are going to fall before, even before the election. September 4th, I take it as 60 days before the election, and there's this unwritten rule that you're not supposed to bring indictments within the last 60 days before an election to give the parties opportunity to respond. I'm predicting right here and now that by September 4th, we're going to have a whole host of indictments, and it's going to involve major figures. I'm talking about indictments emerging from the Russia hoax scandal. We already had this attorney, Kleinsmith, Kevin Kleinsmith, to save himself, who's implicated others in Crossfire Hurricane, which was the name they gave to this effort to destroy the Trump administration even before his inauguration and thereafter. And Kleinsmith turns out to be a guy who, because of his role as an attorney, knows where all the bodies are buried. So here we have a report coming from an Investment Watch blog, which is very good. Indictments likely by September 4th against former Obama administration officials. And I'm telling you, the candidates for these indictments include Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Sally Yates, Hillary Clinton, Andrew McCabe, and a host of other lower on the totem pole. Mitchell, this could be a major development that's going to affect the election. These indictments, I believe they are going to come.
Well, I know the indictments are going to come. It's just a question of which ones and how many. You know, there's all kinds of evidence. There's been more than enough evidence that many of these people should have already been arrested and sent to Gitmo to await trial. One of the, of course, James Comey, who's been extremely quiet, just made his first tweet on Twitter, I think, in 14 or 15 days. And it was basically about the Democrat convention. But James Comey intentionally lied. They now have evidence that not only was he notified by others in the FBI, he also personally received a letter directly from Carter Page himself outlining his work with the CIA. Also, you know, we know that one, two, three, there has been at least four people that have been involved in the investigation. Some of them some of them are analysts, some of them, you know, Klein Smith and Comey, and at least two other analysts knew for a fact that Carter Page was a CIA asset, and that was one of the reasons he had lived in Russia. And he actually, you know, Carter Page, and this was part of the internal record, is that I guess is a good description of the way to say it, but it was public knowledge that Carter Page was an informant who took down two Russians who were attempting to recruit him. And, you know, these facts were well known not only by the FBI, but by the DOJ. And, you know, you have people like Sally Yates, who is just really, you know, a rat weasel that, you know, have lied about all this. And now they're all getting caught, and they thought they could just kind of pass the buck. Just like Rosenstein, when he says, well, I didn't sign, you know, I'm not the affidee. I didn't sign it, you know, when he was trying to explain to Congress. And, you know, once he signs it, he confirms the affidavit is true about Carter Page. And, you know, that's just some of the things. Oh, hey, we got a break.
Okay, it's good, Mitch. It's great to be back with you, my friend.
All right. Yes, it is.
Just terrific.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
The Little Honey on the Lone Highway. Left me for another on the Lone Highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me mention a couple other ways in which the Democrats blew it last night. I mean, for example, new surveys show greater mental health crisis in the U.S. than in other countries. Here's a country-by-country breakdown. Turns out Americans are more likely than other countries to report mental health concerns. Persons in the Netherlands, Sweden, and Norway exhibit the lowest rate of anxiety. Those are countries that have flatly rejected mask wearing and to varying degrees other draconian measures. They've avoided the constant symbols reminding the population of fear and panic. On the other hand, the U.S. is the highest level of anxiety.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time. Across
Mitchell, what happened there?
I'm not sure. I was evidently, though, it's got a double set here. I didn't see it. I had to go in the behind the scenes and stop it. We're good to go now, Jim.
Good, good, good. Thank you, Mitchell. Okay, just before we move forward and I open the lines for calls, I wanted to mention a couple of other ways in which the Democrats blew it by not addressing issues that are very pressing to the American people. For example, turns out a new survey has shown there's a greater mental health crisis in the U.S. than in other countries. When you look at a breakdown, the public in the Netherlands, Sweden, and Norway are exhibiting the lowest rates of anxiety because those are countries that have rejected mask wearing and to varying degrees other draconian measures such as social distancing and lockdowns. They've avoided the constant symbols reminding the population of fear and panic. On the other hand, the U.S. has the highest level of anxiety by far. Could it be because we have the most incessant onslaught of media propaganda panic porn? It turns out the lockdown is making young people here in the U.S. want to commit suicide, to kill themselves. It's absolutely stunning, Mitchell. It's a real phenomenon. It's a real problem. What are the Democrats going to do about it? The answer is not a damn thing. Meanwhile, we have reports from responsible medical authorities like Dr. Simon Gold. Scientifically, the masks are useless and irrelevant. That's a fact. I have published study after study after study on my blog, at jamesfetzer.org, including 15 studies showing they're not even good in during surgery. I'm talking about 15 studies since 2005 that show that even using masks in surgery is a bad idea, that there are fewer contaminations and infections if you don't use them than if you do. Not only that, but you have members of the squad talking about wanting more unrest in the street. I mean, how bad is this? The liberal squad members in the House of Representatives aren't known for their patriotism. We're talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley, who during an interview on August 15th with AM Joy, just a terrible, terrible person, an obvious propaganda, CIA trained, I think she is despicable, Pressley claimed President Trump and his allies are putting the American people in harm's way by not paying attention to what families need. She said there needs to be more unrest in the street. I mean, this is unhinged. And get this, AOC, whom I find personally charming, if politically idiotic, ought to have got more attention during the convention. I mean, they give Michelle Obama this very fine time slot. Well, guess what? They've cut AOC down to 60 seconds. 60 seconds, Mitchell, for AOC. Think about it. Now, let me just add, I believe that Joe Biden is not only clearly brain damaged and cognitively incompetent, he couldn't possibly handle the job, but that they're going to have to replace him before the debates. Whereas I see it, there are four plausible candidates for his replacement. The first is Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, but whom, as I've already mentioned, has problems of his own because Bill de Blasio is turning New York City into a wasteland. I actually think Trump has a chance to take New York, number one. Number two, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, he's less well-known. He's also a monster. He's the nephew of Nancy Pelosi. I think she might like to see him move up. Number three, and heretofore I've thought more plausibly, Michelle Obama herself, except that she really came across as the opposite of her husband. Barack Obama is charismatic, connects with the public. He's very articulate. Michelle came across as very pedestrian, nothing interesting to say, no charisma. So in her, you know, candidacy or prospect for replacing Biden, I think she fell considerably last night on a mediocre performance. And then, of course, we have Hillary herself, the wicked witch, who would like nothing but to get better than to get back in the ring against Donald because she continues to indulge the false belief that she's an appealing candidate for the American people. She doesn't get it, Mitchell. The American people don't like her. The American people see that she's a monster. Now, there are variations on the theme that have it, whereby if they can flood, you know, the ballots with mail-in and make it impossible to finish, there's a scenario in terms of which there's a scenario in which Nancy Pelosi assumes the presidency only to step aside in favor of Hillary. So we got to consider that as an alternative possibility. But those are my primary four that are, you know, in line here, where I think Michelle actually did not make a lot of points. I don't think that, you know, not only did the Democratic Party not get a bounce out of picking Kamala Harris, they're not going to get a bounce out of this convention either. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, you know, you don't have that physical excitement of a real convention or, you know, a big Trump rally even. If you're a party of emotions, and that, you know, that's how you drive the excitement. When you don't have that chance to push those emotions and that emotional energy, you've essentially lost your own way because you're not even using what the weapons that make liberals strong are, really just these are the emotions that drive their topics.
I think you're completely right. I mean, there's no suspense, no excitement, no tension, nothing to draw an audience. I'll bet the ratings are even going to be really low. But most emphatically, I say the convention and the vice presidential pick aren't doing the Democrats any good. They're not gaining voters. That's what this is all about, to swing an election. And they're not doing it, Mitchell. They're not accomplishing the task.
Well, Donald Trump is now holding your mailbox hostage. And they've actually, I don't know if you're aware, but they've actually started a grand jury investigation into that by some congressman. And it's crazy. First off, mail-in voting isn't secure and there's no real chain of custody of the vote to ensure that it's actually a legitimate vote. Second off, 28 million mail-in ballots were lost in the last three or four elections that were never returned, never found, never anything. So this idea of mail-in balloting, and of course, I don't know if you're aware, but in February, the post office applied for a blockchain voting system for a patent for that. that was in February of 2020, by the way, that the post office applied for a blockchain style mail-in voting system, cross-referencing data and trying to make it secure with a blockchain basis for mail-in voting. I thought that was interesting. I saw that article on Zero Hedge, and that was in February. So, the post office has always been losing money, as far as I remember.
Oh, sure. In fact, this new Postmaster General is an expert in efficiency in transporting, goods from A to B. He's a logistics professional, and he's actually making moves that are going to expedite the processing of mail. But the Democrats have gone bananas. Would you believe it turns out that Obama and Biden removed at least 14,000 mailboxes when they were in office, and that even Chris Wallace, who's been no sympathetic reporter in relation to the White House, is acknowledging that Trump may have a point about mail-in voting fraud. They're trying to make a big deal out of it because this is the instrument they want to use to take him down and save themselves from the noose.
Well, it's another layer of the onion that they're growing and they're putting on this, this going all the way back to Obamagate, as what it's being tagged as this, it's counterintelligence, as a counterintelligence political operation. According to, I believe it's notes from Pete Strzok or Andy McCabe, this Crossfire Hurricane was allegedly opened as a FARA investigation. And not the way it, not what it morphed into by the time James Comey and the rest of the political system weaponized it all into an insurance policy. So there's real now questions even about the whole legitimacy of the Mueller investigation itself. And of course, you have Andrew Weissman, who has come out and said, no, wait, if you're in the DOJ, you have to resist. You have to say no to John Durham and his investigators that are looking into these, into what the Mueller team actually did with the information that they got. So there's questions about whether Mueller lied to the Senate when regarding information with the Steele dossier. So just as the FBI has been caught briefing Congress in one mouth, outside of one mouth of their mouth, and saying something else totally different in private. In actuality, in private, the FBI said, you know, this thing stinks. It's not any good. But when they talked to Congress and others, they actually, you know, briefed Congress that it was, you know, factual and it was good information, when privately they knew different. And you know, these are the things that aren't accidents. You know, it's not an accident that three sets of investigators made 17 different mistakes in the Carter Page FISA warrants. It's not an accident when stuff like that happens. And remember, these are supposed to be some of the best career individuals that we have in our public service. So, you know, it brings into question everything. Of course, hey, did you see Donald Trump pardoned Susan B. Anthony?
I know, isn't that wonderful? This guy is so far ahead of them. I mean, Mitchell, you know, it's not even fair. It's like he is so smart. This was so clever, such a good move. And would you believe, Mitchell, the S&P 500 has hit a all-time high despite COVID-19 devastation. Who do you think would be the best store of the U.S. economy after all this catastrophe, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Well, you remember the economy wasn't coming back, according to Obama. You know, none of the jobs were ever going to come back from China or Gambia or India or wherever they went to on that corporate plantation. And yes, the corporate plantation will respond. When you cut into its profit margin, it will respond. And that's the only way that you can really deal with the international corporations, or with import tariffs. And this is what, you know, Trump has done with China and a lot of other nations, even European nations. So there are ways to level the playing fields. It's just people that are politically bought off by the international group, those changes aren't wanted by those those puppet politicians.
Here's another non-coincidence, Mitchell. Report finds abuses of discretion but no criminal wrongdoing in Kim Fox's handling of the Jussie Smollett case. Just happens to be reported at the time of the Democratic convention. To get that out of the way, but it's not going to go away. Can you imagine all the wonderful campaign commercial about Jussie Smollett, who just happens to be Kamala Harris's nephew, who was campaigning with Kamala Harris, who fabricated this hate crime in Chicago at 2 a.m. on the coldest morning of the year, where there was intervention by Michelle Obama's chief of staff, where Kim Fox, the attorney who dismissed the charges, regards Kamala Harris as her mentor. I mean, Mitchell, these people are going down so badly, it's embarrassing.
Yes, they the problem is they are going to riot. That's, you know, that's the big deal. You know, you're going to see massive riots in liberal cities after the election. And that just was proof that they don't accept the election. And they don't accept democracy only if it works for them. And that's part of the problem. And one of the real reasons why they're not in power and they shouldn't be in power. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you know, when you look at what Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, you know, Chuck Schumer and the rest, well, they got 100 years in Congress right there almost. You know, you know, we definitely need term limits in the U.S. House. But I don't know if just term limits would do it. Maybe party term limits, you know, that would force the changeover.
Party term limits. What an interesting idea. And of course, this wonderful documentary by this Millie Weaver, Shadowgate, really shows how they can combine AI with massive surveillance and information about each of us as a individual human being to be able to push our buttons and manipulate us into behaving the way they want us to behave under virtually any circumstance. I think this is a masterful piece of work, and it was simply bizarre how she was arrested on what looked like a phony. It was not even a properly carried out arrest, didn't have a warrant that had her name on it, only the name of her husband, who, by the way, appears to be some kind of video and film genius. The whole damn thing was professionally produced. Have you had a chance to watch it, Mitchell? It's sensational.
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it yet, Jim. I've been kind of paying attention, and it's a curious case where, you know, this whole thing is supposedly centered around a $50 cell phone, and that happened at a relative's house. So it's why the secret grand jury and why the secret other stuff, you know. The indictment dates, if I remember right, were like July the 20th.
Yeah, it was like 4 months before they execute the warrant, which is proof positive by itself that this was a manipulated situation, that they want to hit her with it just as she was about to release it, except that she'd already given it to others to get it out if anything should happen to her, which was a very smart thing to have done.
Yeah, the original release, I believe, was supposed to be on the 20th or somewhere in there. Of July, and there was some problems with the video, so it was delayed until just this past week when it was going to be premiered.
Well, I'll tell you, it's
and
really
then the knock on the door hours before. Yeah,
it's really good, Mitchell. It is really good. Let me announce everyone. You're welcome to call in. Mitchell will field the calls as before. The number is the same: 540-352-4452. I'm so glad to be back, and I'm so welcome to have you call, and I look forward to talking to many of you with whom I've had many conversations in the past and look forward to many more in the future. And Mitchell, I'm just delighted that you're able to produce for me. That's just wonderful. On your part, my friend, I am in your debt.
Oh, that's okay. We had to scramble. My PC actually, the power supply died in it last night. So I've got another PC right here at the house that I'm using. Luckily, you know, we had a backup.
There's no end to efforts to sabotage our
I have no idea. It's just
telling you.
Well, I had some extra money, and I guess the PC knew it. Says I want it.
Nice, very nice.
But yeah,
call in. They're welcome. They can start calling in already. I do think the Democrats this convention isn't panning out the way they wanted. Tonight, of course, we're going to have another round. This is called Leadership Matters. It's going to include Sally Yates. Now, get that, Mitchell. Sally Yates was right at the center of the Russiagate. Sally Yates is going to be indicted. She may be already cooperating. It's going to include Chuck Schumer, who I have no doubt is involved in Pizzagate, former Secretary of State John Kerry, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose time has been cut down to 60 seconds, believe it or not. Lisa Blunt Rochester, I know practically nothing about her. Former President Bill Clinton, who made 26 trips on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express. Let's hear him talk about those ventures. And former Second Lady Jill Biden, who seems like a much more decent person than her husband, Mitchell. That's a lineup for tonight. But, I mean, they got 2 hours. They've only got seven speakers, and they've cut down AOC to 16 minutes. So they basically got 20 minutes for each of the other six. I think that was a huge blunder because AOC draws an audience. I don't think anyone else on this list actually draws an audience. Bill Clinton is yesterday's news. I mean, what a rotten guy he turned out to be. And I'm very pleased to see Giuseppe is already called in. So, Giuseppe, why don't you say a few words before we go to the break?
Sure. I'm glad to see Mitchell's back handling everything with loving care. And it sucks when you I know he just fought off a pretty nasty bug, and glad to see he's back in the saddle. You guys have had a great relationship. So you put the band back together.
Well, Giuseppe, you were wonderful to step in last week when Mitchell was unavailable, and it's amazing. I mean, he called me today, and actually it had slipped my mind that I'm doing this show every Tuesday. I'm just so pleased about it. So it's just he and I have so many demands on our time keeping track of all this, but I'm just so glad about this whole thing, and you were wonderful to step in last week.
Oh, it's amazing that Mitchell does 2 hours Monday through Friday, and you do shows amazing amount on your plate, and it's all original content. It's not like you're hosting a video show or something. You're developing, both you guys, your own content. I mean, hats off to both of you for the, it's not easy I'm doing 5 hours a week between my own show, The Perfect Triangle, and then co-hosting Scorpio's show on Saturday. And it takes, as everyone may not know, it takes a lot of prep work to be able to sound casual and off the cuff on the air. You actually got to do hours and hours of research and read about your interviewee and or current events, and then put it in a narrative that is not too pedantic for radio. I mean, both you guys are excellent at it.
Well, I had a good friend who actually was my girlfriend. We were even engaged. We went together for like 7 years. And she told me once I was the only person she'd ever known who could just pick up the book and walk into the class and do these lectures. You know, I had a preference for Tuesday, Thursday, because they're longer classes. They run an hour 45. Most of my colleagues in the department prefer shorter classes. But I mean, you know, for me, it takes me 45 minutes just to take my first breath. So I love doing those longer classes. And it just worked out wonderfully. And it's very adaptive to the television. Giuseppe, I'm telling you, it's just a natural fit. And I think that's another reason I like the idea of going to Tuesday, Thursday. That's what I did for 35 years with a single year exception. I had all my classes on Tuesday, Thursday, and none before 11 a.m., which is why I think I had so much time to be productive in my research and publish so many books. I mean, it just worked out wonderfully. And now Fantastic. We're coming up to our break. Everyone remember the same number, 540-352-4452. Mitchell is here. Call in. We'll get you on the air.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio. Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asked for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Giuseppe, well, I've got you here, and I'm so delighted you called in. Tell me your assessment of the four prospective candidates I've suggested might replace Joe Biden, namely Andrew Cuomo, Gavin Newsom, Hillary Clinton, and Michelle Obama. What do you think of the pros and cons of each of them?
Oh, my goodness. I feel as though they are all just such despicable globalist operatives. And the worst is Hillary, and then Michelle Obama, Mike Obama. Did you see the 5 o'clock shadow she had on when she gave her little talk? She doesn't even try to hide that she's a man. And then Gavin Newsom is such a lightweight. and malleable. He might be the one they go with because he doesn't have anywhere near the baggage of Clinton or Michael Obama. And then Fredo Cuomo, it's funny, just like George Foreman named all his sons George Jr., Mario Cuomo, who was a pretty impressive statesman, had the prescient vision to name all his spineless, cowardly, nepotistically placed sons Fredo. So Fredo Cuomo, I think he's laughable. I don't think he would appeal to mainstream America. So I would guess that they could, if it's one of those four, the best chance to market a slick younger man would be Gavin Newsom, who's just a despicable rodent in his own right. Who did you pick?
We have a California commentator on the phone with us now who can talk about Gavin Newsom up close and personal. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, well done, Giuseppe, using both pedantic and prescient in a call. Very, very good. So my take, if you're interested, is what about Paul from California? See, now, if you look at it in terms of a scale, the problem the Democrats have is people view them as too far left, too liberal, too progressive. If you put somebody like Paul from California on the ticket, it will tend to balance the other direction and they could have a chance. What do you say?
Well, it's nice as satire, Paul, but we're talking about the realm of reality, not getting wandering off the reservation. We love it for your humorous intent, but I'm really asking, which of those do you think would be the most realistic, or is there somebody that I'm overlooking?
Let me tell you what I really think, and this won't be without humor. I was actually thinking about this before the hour was up and this whole topic of how ridiculous Joe Biden is as a candidate. I mean, imagine you're running a hardware store and Uncle Joe comes in to apply. You know, you probably would have your doubts about hiring him. So perfect. He might as well be president. Look,
I don't think it's idiotic. I agree.
Right. And it speaks to the so-called reality. You mentioned the word realistic or reality. It speaks to the reality that we're in. So we're all, I think, on this call, we're all literate enough to know the famous line of imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. Well, this is what I think about politics, and especially the Democratic politics that we're looking at, that we're presented with. Imagine a boot that steps in a pile of dog shit and then stamps on your face, and they have the gall to ask you if you like the flavor or would you prefer another pile of crap.
Yeah.
I just heard a great little video intro. I've been watching this series called Europa Arise, which is it's like 10 parts or more. And there's a little intro to the first part where Ken O'Keefe, some of you on this call may know who Ken O'Keefe is. And he talks about the fact that it's no accident that these people that they put out on stage for us to vote for are like the most heinous, odious, biggest piles of human crap you can imagine. It's not just enough for them to be scandalous or corrupt or questionable in character and or for example, have ties to other corrupt and scandalous characters. That's not enough. No, they have to be perverts. They have to be pedophiles. They have to be downright evil. Otherwise, they're not going to be funded. They're not going to be promoted. They're not going to be pimped to us by you-know-who media. So that's the situation that we're in. Thanks for hearing my take on it.
Oh, sure, Paul. Giuseppe, your further thoughts.
I wonder if, the media, politics, it's all in what a good idea. I'm going to imitate that business. I wonder if Biden does really collapse and they need a last-minute alternative, why don't they copy the playbook that Trump used as a true outsider, and they're so intent on creating this mandatory vaccine, why don't they run Bill Gates? Everybody, all the weak-minded sheeple love Gates, feel like he's saving them. Why don't they run Bill Gates?
That's right.
Can you just imagine that?
Democrats represent today. He's a scoundrel. He's a liar. He's a phony. He's a fraud. He's willing to kill people to promote his own personal agenda. He won't allow his own kids to be vaccinated or himself, but he wants to vaccinate the world for big bucks, and he doesn't care how many die in the process. Perfect. Perfect.
May I drop a 60s reference for his Bill Gates running mate, vice president, Snidely Whiplash. How's that?
That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. You remember Snidely Whiplash, don't you, Professor?
You're going to have to remind me, Paul.
He's the villain in Dudley Do-Right. Remember?
The cartoon, Dudley Do-Right?
See, there's a generation gap there. I don't remember Dudley Do-Right.
No, you just didn't watch as many cartoons as I did, or Giuseppe did.
Well, it's a generation thing. It was like my younger siblings were into the Beatles long before I was, because I was in college and in going into the Marine Corps when the Beatles hit and became a big phenomenon. But so I had to play catch up there. But remember, I graduated from high school in 1958. So, you know, figure Dudley Do-Right and all that in relation. They were, my younger brothers and sisters were into a whole lot of cartoons and TV events and music that I missed because I was older.
You were probably in Vietnam then as well.
Well, I was never in Vietnam,
but in the service, rather.
I was in the Far East, yeah, for 13 months with training ops in Japan twice, Korea, Formosa, R&R in Hong Kong. We were based in Okinawa, visited the Philippines. I mean, it was a very interesting tour, but I'm glad I wasn't in country, because I think I would have had very mixed feelings about my experience in the Marine Corps.
Well, for listeners younger and older who might not be aware of Dudley Do-Right cartoon, it was produced by the same media house that did the more famous Rocky and Bullwinkle. And it was Dudley Do-Right was a Canadian Mountie who was a total do-gooder. And he had his girlfriend Nell, and his arch villain was Snidely Whiplash, who had dressed all in black with a top hat and a curly mustache that he was always twisting, you know, classic over the top evil. And so that's who Snidely Whiplash was, rather.
Thank you for that, Giuseppe. Yeah, and you could say he had, we'll say, just a little bit of a throw, how should you say, a throwback to maybe a Count Dracula type character. But yeah, you got the picture.
So, Paul, I mean, do you have any, what would be your critique of the Democratic Party and what it's doing today? I take it you wouldn't bother to turn on the TV for a Democratic convention. But what I'm saying, it's like an infomercial. There's nothing to it. In fact, even the Michelle Obama thing appears to have been taped in advance, because she doesn't talk about Kamala, and she's got outdated figures on the official CV count. So it was done some time back. And was it Giuseppe observing she's not even bothering to cover the growth of her beard? I mean, this is embarrassingly bad.
Well, since you asked me, I will use this analogy. It's not an analogy. So I was having a conversation with my friend today. So I'm just going to paint the picture of who my friend is. He's a regular guy, California guy. He used to be a surfer, used to be a little bit of a slacker, a little bit of a stoner. He's got his own window washing business, residential and commercial. You know, he does okay, but I mean, he's not any American, you know, prosperity or success story. Just one of those people out there just making it and trying to enjoy life. He doesn't have too many political opinions, and he's not that aware, but overall, he's a regular, easygoing guy. And just today, as we were talking, he made the observation, which is so obvious, and I think that many people are making. And he said this. He goes, I don't know. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I don't think I'm right or left, but I can't help but notice that the Republicans and the Republican-type people and the commentators that support Republicans and conservatism seem to be overall more normal, more well-balanced, better-looking, more, appealing people. And a lot of the Democrats just look like a bunch of freaks and weirdos, and I don't care for them at all. That's his take, his non-political take, and I think that's what we're looking at. So if things are real and true, there's zero chance that Trump won't be reelected. So we'll know if he gets defeated that things are not real and true.
Paul, that's very damn interesting. Giuseppe, don't you find that fascinating? Mitchell, too? I mean, I think that's a wonderful observation.
Yeah, just absolutely.
From a guy who's a normal guy just casually surveying the scene. Mitchell, was that you?
No, that was Giuseppe. I would like to hear Mitchell's take on it. Mitchell, what do you think?
Well, I think the violence is already baked into the cake. Democrats know that they aren't going to win the election. So they're going to keep the pot boiling, really. In fact, there's a group that's going to lay siege to the White House between now and the election, where they're going to essentially ship busload after busload of people in, particularly during the weekend, and start this siege mentality. That's kind of what has been going on in Portland and Seattle and in some other cities, and in New York now, where the people are essentially under siege from violent black shirts. And the political system has handcuffed the police. This is a well-known tactic to create and destabilize the society. So Democrats,
they don't play well with others, Mitchell. This is just ridiculous. This is such juvenile behavior. It's embarrassing. The Democratic Party is embarrassing the United States.
Well, you know, I was going to... Oh, Paul, can I jump in for a second? The Mitchell is right on, and I was going to observe before, but I wanted to hear his take. I think we have to keep in mind that the real agenda, the Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution, is the globalist parasites want a North American Union. They want digital currency. They want a social credit score. They want mandatory vaccination. And if you're not vaccinated, you can't go to work. It was in USA Today yesterday or the day before. Right. So we have to keep in mind that the like Mitchell said, the pot boiling, the whole effective use of these weak-minded day-walking zombies is to have get them so riled up and then have Trump be elected by the real people of America that they explode, the pot kettle lid blows off, and then the solution to the problem reaction solution is, well, we need to step in first with martial law, and then we have to take away cash because it's spurring violence. You know, they spin all these lies, and eventually, I think, keep in mind that that's what the real agenda is.
But if Trump's president, they're going to have a hell of a time trying to implement anything like that because he's in commander-in-chief of the military.
Well that's a good point, but Trump is really beholden to the globalist New York bankers. I mean, they could have wiped him out during any one of his four bankruptcies, and the New York Fed, one of the key players, came out publicly and said, you know, this guy's more useful to us operating. So, I mean, he publicly stated that.
Right. So that's the problem, is we can hope. We can cross our fingers and hope with Trump, and he gives us little glimmers of hope. That's what he's good at. I still hope too, because I'm a human being, but I've just seen so much analysis and so many videos pointing out what you don't want to see. You know, you don't want to see the things that he does say and do. And it's like, it's hard to continue to believe, you know, plenty of people do. And I hold out a sliver, but he might be, as Jack Mullen has suggested, and as Russ Winter has suggested, he might be a Trojan horse. It all could be set up for him to get elected again. And there you go.
It's interesting you mentioned Jack because he's my guest tonight on the Fetz Presents 8 to 10 Central at JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. I wanted to bring back Jack because he does offer the most sober and disturbing view of what you guys would take to be a realistic assessment of the situation, where I still continue to believe in Trump. And if I'm proven to be wrong, I mean, the consequences are going to be catastrophic. Not that I'm proven to be wrong, but that Trump is not the man I take him to be. It's going to be a disaster for the country, indeed for the whole effing world.
What I believe in is the decent people of this country, the so-called silent majority. That's who I believe in. They elected Trump, and we still have the numbers no matter what occurs. If Trump is a Trojan horse, if Trump is controlled, if enough people would shake out of their media-induced hypnosis and mind control and start to take to the streets, the real people take to the streets, like in Germany, when they had enough with the masks and the lying New York Times said that it was 17,000 people when it was more like 1.3 million. If we take to the streets and show we still have the numbers, we, the people, can seize the moment and save the day. I mean, that's my hope.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would come down to unconventional warfare, the militias would make a difference. Everyone would count. I just say there's so few of them and so many of us that, you know, even if we took out just one apiece, in the end, the good guys would prevail. But, of course, that's not to count the role of tactical nuclear weapons and the like. You know, I mean, this could become very messy, very messy.
Well, I just don't know where they would drop them and who they would drop them on. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Jim.
It's
kind of like, I'm glad to hear what Giuseppe just said, because I've heard him, I'm not going to say talking out of both sides of his mouth, but I've heard him sort of take a couple different positions on his shows and also in person. And I know the other day when we were on together and I mentioned what I mentioned, which I do have more than on one occasion talked about, I don't see any political solution. I don't see any non-physical or non-violent way out of our current predicament. And I know Giuseppe responded that, well, you know, if it comes to the point where I think more or less, you know, we have to storm, you know, the palaces and start lynching people, you know, then all is lost. And, you know, after that was said, I thought about it and I thought, no, not all is lost. That's when we actually can start to win, or we can begin to win, because we've already lost. I mean, anybody who doesn't really take the sober approach, and Jack Mullen is a solid guest, and he and I agree on many, many things. But the bottom line is when you look at everything, I mean, the money, the control of the supply of money, the media, the government, the politicians, the courts, everything. Essentially, we've already lost. We just have comfort. That's all. We have material comfort. But in all these fields of battle, we've already been defeated. So the only time that we can actually start to turn it around, if it's a football game, is we got to make a tackle. We got to make a tackle and knock the ball loose. So if you get my metaphors, that's my contribution for the month.
Giuseppe.
Well, I still think that the nonviolent millions of people in the streets is the proper move, because
And then do what? After we're in the streets and we demonstrate, then do what? Wait for them to give us something?
You stop commerce. We decide that Bank of America is going out of business. And so the next play is they're going to try and use some type of military force, be it the National Guard or what have you. And so then it keeps upscaling, and eventually it gets to the point where there's going to be two armies, the army loyal to the globalists and the army loyal to America and the Constitution, at which point it's all out war and who knows what happens. And I'm advocating for a saner solution, which is, you know, skill. I would say get to the streets and then have teams of assassins start to take out some of these globalist parasites. I mean, there's only a couple thousand of these satanic pieces of crap that, and you take out 100 or 200, especially the bigger names, they're going to all be scrambling for their bunkers in New Zealand. And right. you can without getting to that horrible war on these shores, because then what's going to happen if we get to that war, all of a sudden the UN's going to be part of it and we're going to have all these foreign troops. It's a nightmare scenario. I would rather see something that preserves the infrastructure of this country and you know what I'm, you get where I'm going?
No, I see. I like what I'm hearing on several aspects. It's just, I think that our pictures are overlapping and, you know, can be worked out. I mean, cause we're on the same team.
Absolutely.
It's going to break
Absolutely.
Down. It's going to be fragmented. It's going to be like the professor says, it's going to be guerrilla. It's not going to be an organized, like the U.S. Army against the U.S. citizens. It's not going to go like that because so many soldiers are not going to be with the program. A lot of cops are not going to be with the program. We've probably all seen the articles online about a lot of police officers that are no longer police officers or joining militias and so forth. And you knew that's the way it was going to go. They're not going to join Antifa, for God's sake. So I think that it's optimistic, in my opinion. I'm not worried about any U.N. troops. I don't think that's going to go well. What country is going to come over here when something like that's going on? You think there's really going to be any African troops or Indian troops or Central American troops that are going to want to come here? And if they do, okay, just more targets is all the way I would look at it.
Right. And I would hope maybe perhaps Professor Fetzer's belief in Trump, once he's won a second term and he's got nothing to lose, maybe his true patriotism can come through and he can marshal the forces of loyal patriots in the military to support him. And I there's plenty of scenarios in my mind where it works out for the people, and there's plenty where it doesn't. I mean, that's what's the great unknown, I guess.
Well, I agree with almost all what you said, and there's no point not being optimistic. There's no point not having a can-do attitude. I mean, what good does it do to not have that?
Yeah, that's
– better fail.
That's my inclination too, Paul. I mean, you know, if we have to bite the bullet, if Trump disappoints, then we'll do it. We'll bite the bullet. But I see signs that I continue to find encouraging. Mitchell, further thoughts before, do we have another break here?
We might have break.
Yeah, there he is. Just as
All
nice.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we'll pick up with you, Mitchell, when we come All back right. from the break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
You guys know my friend Rolf, whom I've featured here on the show on numerous occasions. He just called me during the break to tell me the Daily Mail has released video of Bill Clinton, who's speaking tonight at the Democratic Convention on the Lolita Express, getting a rub down with a hot blonde. And according to Rolf, he asked for a crack, meaning he wanted her to play with his nuts. I mean, that's really something.
Who doesn't want to ask for a crack? Yeah.
Are you looking for a reaction to that or something?
Well, look at the timing. Look at the timing. This guy, who's a complete cad and a scoundrel and just has been abusing women his whole life, he's guilty of repeated rape, I have no doubt, is going to be speaking. And look at the profound embarrassment of the Daily Mail releasing this before he speaks tonight. Think of how that affects. Think of how that affects the Democrat convention. I mean, it was a joke to begin with. It's doing nothing. It's like an extended infomercial. But this really is going to.
But Jim,
and when you consider his presentation is almost certainly pre-recorded, are they just going to ignore it? You know, how can they cope with it?
But Jim, going back to what I said earlier today about what my friend observed.
Yes.
And when you yourself are listening to and watching some of these Antifa, not just what they say and or don't say, but their acts of physical violence, their intolerance to other viewpoints, it's not really going to have an effect on them because they're not like us. They don't have the same moral compass. So in my opinion, all this stuff, it rolls like water off the back of a duck to these people because they're not the same as us. And they're not in any way a majority. That's the thing. And that's what Trump showed. There's a clip on Joe Rogan podcast where he's talking to Matt Taibbi. Some of you may know who Matt Taibbi is. He's a journalist.
Oh, sure. For Rolling Stone, yeah.
So he attended Trump rallies, and he also attended Bernie Sanders rallies and also Hillary Clinton. And he just flat out said, he goes, there's nothing like a Trump rally. It's a phenomenon. It's as if all these people have found a voice and a home, and they're free to feel, you know, comfortable in their own skin and to act out and to even be silly and stupid. It doesn't really matter. because it was just, it was a phenomenon. Whereas, okay, the Bernie Sanders crowd was enthusiastic, but it wasn't the same. And then he talked about Hillary Clinton and how it was just absurd. She had trouble drawing hundreds, right? Meanwhile, yes. Trump would draw tens of thousands. And what he couldn't believe as a journalist covering this was the dishonesty in the media with their disconnect of how this couldn't come out in the election. In other words, it was just supposed to be an anomaly and it wasn't going to factor. He just said nobody could see the crowds they drew and draw any other conclusion that Trump would easily win.
Yeah. But
that's what, you know, anyway, we all know what happened.
They're going to see a repetition, except they're going to try to steal it with this, you know, mail voting. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's so obvious on its face.
And you have to factor in the fact that these Democratic loyalists have true cognitive dissonance, and they believe that Bill Clinton was a great president, that Barry Suerto was a great president, and that Black Lives Matter is a noble movement, and they are so disconnected from reality that no matter what facts you present them with, no matter what you do, like show that the horrific facts of that subhuman Negro shooting that sweet little 5-year-old boy cannon in the head because he was learning how to ride his bike. I mean, the level of evil from these subhuman pieces of garbage is insane. You look at the rioting and the violence, insane, and yet, oh, the Democrats, we're the good people, we're the liberals. It's such cognitive dissonance. It gives me a headache when I observe this stuff and think about it, because they're out of their minds and they're mind controlled.
And it's important to note on the heels of what Giuseppe just observed, okay, that this is historically verifiable. This is what they do. When you look at all the so-called communist revolution, Bolshevik, and there was more than one in different countries, but what is it that they did? What did they do? They kill the middle class. They kill the intelligentsia, right? They kill the thinkers, right? They kill the most successful people in the country because those are the ones that were going to oppose them. And I just heard a great lecture the other day about this, about the strategy that Stalin employed, because what he wanted was the mediocre compliant workers, okay? It was definitely no, you know, proletariat paradise, but they definitely wanted the mediocre proletariat. And so you look at what we've all talked about on this show many times, the world of inversion. And that's what it is, inversion. These disgruntled, dysfunctional, unattractive, poorly intellectually developed people are held out as virtue. And normal, good-looking, intelligent, productive, law-abiding white people are evil racists. It's literally the world of inversion. That's all it is. And you used the word earlier in the show, Jim, juvenile, about these Democrats. I don't think that applies unless we're talking about the first syllable of that word. Thank you.
Well, Giuseppe makes this point. Yeah, I mean, how pathetic to shoot a little 5-year-old kid because learning to ride his bicycle, he rode on your lawn. So you come out and you blow him away. I mean, that was so repulsive. That was so disgusting.
That's mental illness, though. We can't take that one case. And I know he didn't mean to use it that way, obviously.
Yeah.
This guy's he's mentally ill. But when you look at the behavior of these other lowlifes, including some whites, okay, but a lot of these lowlife blacks in the recent Portland incident with the guy and he kicked him in the head and he's unconscious and the nigger standing on the ground going, get your bitch ass up. I mean, who acts like that? Who does that? I mean, if we gave the guy an IQ test, what would he score? If there was a way to put a morality meter on him, what level would the morality meter peg to? You know, it's just, we're not dealing with normal people. Like I said, we're dealing with unattractive, disgruntled, ugly second and third run people, and they're being promoted and pushed upon us. That's why they're making them mayors and police chiefs and district attorneys. It's not a normal world.
Boy, you said a mouthful there, Paul. I couldn't agree more. It's unbelievable. It's totally appalling. Giuseppe.
You know, I sent a pictorial meme to Paul. I don't remember if I sent it to the whole list a few weeks ago, but imagine a picture of a professional bowler with the big arm swing and the leg kick just up to the bowling alley line, and he literally has released the ball. It's in air, and the picture snapped, and it's frozen. And then this meme was just brilliant, which is the professional bowler had the label Jews. The bowling ball rocketing frozen in air was called Blacks, and the pins were called Society. And that is exactly what the Jews, the Zionist Jews, whatever you want to call them, the Talmudic Jews, that's their modus operandi for about 120 years. Really, they started implementing this about the turn of the century. Maybe you could even argue that they were behind a lot of the Civil War machinations. I've heard some people argue that on podcasts, and it's pretty believable. But that is just, it never ceases to fail. And it's sad because there's it keeps working and it shouldn't.
Well, most American blacks are actually rather conservative, middle class. They have conventional values. They're very upset by all this law and order. Now, there's an element that is highly manipulable that fits, that is lower intelligence and morally vacant that are amenable to use. But believe it or not, most of the members of these Black Lives Matter crowd are white, like 60%. I mean, they're white. A lot of them are school teachers. It's just appalling.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's a good delineation. Go ahead, Paul.
They definitely should go to the internment camps for re-education at the very least, because none of these people really appreciate what goes on to make society. You know, I made the point on so many other shows about this, but all these people going out there burning things, destroying things, crying like little children about, oh, my life matters. You know what? It doesn't. If your life mattered, you wouldn't have to cry about it. You would know that it matters, and you would just go out and live it and contribute and have people value your service or your personality, whatever it is they value about you. It's like lectures I've given to kids over the years. When I see some kids and they're acting, you know, the way some kids act and they're trying to be tough. And hey, listen, young man, let me get some good advice here. Don't try to be tough. Don't try to be hard. Be friendly. Smile. Be helpful. If you smile and you're friendly and helpful, doors will open for you all your life. If you try to be hard, if you try to be tough, guess what? You're going to get nothing but trouble. Now, to their credit, about maybe 10 to 20% of kids that I've told this to over the years have acknowledged it. Go, yeah, well, thanks. That's good advice. But the other, say, 60, 70, 80%, I don't think it may have reached them. And to be honest with you, I'm past the point of caring. I don't think there's – I know right now two or three guys, and I don't know that many people, but I know two or three guys that if we were given permission, we said, okay, all bets are off. Law enforcement will stand down. American people, you go deal with the rioters in Portland, which supposedly now goes on 90 days, 90 consecutive days of riots and destruction. I know at least two, three guys right now that wouldn't hesitate to go up there and open fire. I wouldn't hesitate. I would open fire. Fuck them. And I would dig the graves after. I'd do all the work necessary. Because that's
here, what here, I got, here I got photographs. It's not clear to me it's on the plane. Exclusive, would you, is this, I may have misinterpreted part of what Rolf told me. It says, would you mind giving it a crack? I think he means his neck. Milton leans back and smiles while receiving neck massage from Epstein victim 22. In never before seen photos during trip on pedophiles plane to Africa in 2002, as he addresses Democratic Convention tonight. This is very embarrassing, very embarrassing. I mean, really. The troubling pictures are an ill-timed reminder of Clinton's links to Epstein as a former president, 72, yeah, prepares to endorse Joe Biden tonight at the Democratic Convention. Clinton traveled numerous times on the dead pedophile's private jet, the Lolita Express, socialized with his alleged madam, Ghislaine Maxwell, and faced a slew of sexual misconduct accusations himself during his years in public life. Yep, the 42-year-old president, the 42nd president of the United States, is still revered in progressive circles, despite the renewed focus on Epstein's crimes and the predatory behavior of rich, powerful men laid bare by the hashtag MeToo movement. This just reflects the hypocrisy of the Democrats, you know. If it's a Republican who has the least interest in men and women, he's a pervert. But if Democrats are actually practicing pedophilia, they don't care and they excuse them. It's outrageous.
Well, yeah, he's a serial rapist. He's a confirmed pedophile. I think, what did he have, like 20-some rides on the Lolita Express?
26, yeah.
26, jeez.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt here, and we'll just say that it was a weak moment. He made some poor choices. How's that?
Mitchell, come on back in, my friend.
Yeah,
I got on the plane 27 times. I'm sorry. Crucified.
Yeah, Mitchell, go ahead.
How many times did he get off on the plane? That's the question everybody wants to know.
How many times he got off, right?
Yeah, we have to remember that Kamala Harris had picked up Mark Elias and Perkins Coie law firm in July of last year in helping her with her presidential run. So Mark Elias and Perkins Coie were center for the paymasters for Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele and all of that operation. So Kamala Harris is on the inside line with the right power behind her. As that's what it looks like to me. Oh.
Paul, Giuseppe, thoughts?
Giuseppe?
I think it's fascinating, and Mitchell's exactly right. She's totally propped up, because I saw on Twitter last night someone did a brilliant side-by-side from headlines in 2016. Kamala Harris is the wonderful Indian American representing diversity, and now suddenly she's black for 2020. It's such a farce.
Yeah, and African Americans aren't happy, and they're not played by this. They are disgusted. So the Democrats are disaffecting a key constituency. I mean, they're just doing everything wrong. It's as though they were engaged in deliberate self-immolation.
Well, and it goes back to what you said earlier, too, about embarrassing or being, and I can't help but come back to that and say they don't care. They're not embarrassed. You know, it's like that old saying about have you no shame? Well, some people really don't have much or very little. I mean, if you believe all the things that have been written about Bill Clinton and the things that have been said about him, and years and years ago, I spent a little time taking a look at some of the, you know, accusations and some of the things that people wrote about him, women, okay? And all you got to do is say, all right, he's a sociopathic predator, okay? And that just makes him, you know, one of probably millions of sociopathic predators out there. He just so happens to be, extremely corrupt from a particular family line. Miles Mathis has done some of the background on his family. So, you know, in his family line, he has connections. And so he was promoted. He was selected. And it could have been as a reward for overseeing or looking the other way with the drug running in MENA and Arkansas, probably. But the bottom line is we don't really have we're not selecting from the best and the brightest. We're selecting from what the boot stamps in at the dog park. And we're told, hey, do you want this or do you want, the Labrador over here? Or do you want the Doberman Pinscher, it's like, that's our choice. You know, we don't get, come on, really think about what are we looking at here? You know, the most dysfunctional, right? The most odious people. I mean, I think you, Professor, said it best one time about Kamala Harris, words to the effect more or less that she's more or less just an empty vessel, you know, and she'll be filled up, with whatever, whoever's handling her and whatever works well at the moment.
The Democrats have nothing to offer the nation, nothing at all. It's just appalling. I mean, this is a major political party. It has nothing but miscreants, misfits, weirdos, psychos, pedophiles. I mean, that's it.
Well said.
Yeah, once a proud party. I mean, the party of John F. Kennedy, the statesman Adlai Stevenson, who used to give these amazing speeches at the United Nations to defuse the Cuban crisis, and you know, real people who really seem to care about the country and serve their constituency, which is the working and middle class, and you contrast that with what the professor just described, these low-life pieces of feces, and it's like, what a tragic decline and collapse.
It is, Giuseppe. It's dumbfounding. It's mind-boggling. It's virtually beyond belief, but it's the reality. It's the grim reality. It's inescapable. Yes. That's the fact of the matter today. This is a party of miscreants.
It adds a new luster to the age-old saying about, did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
That's for sure. Mitchell, would you like to add a few more words here as we come toward the conclusion of our conversation today?
Well, expect things to get crazier as... and the question is, what will, you know, William Barr and John Durham and John Bash, what will they actually do, and who will they actually indict? Will they go after all the rats, or will they just do a limited hangout and keep the power structure? That's the real question for America, because if we don't get honesty back in our government, we can't get our government back. So
nice. Well put. Giuseppe?
I think that Mitchell's exactly right, that it's going to get really crazy. And I think another factor that everybody needs to keep in mind is that the release of the so-called novel coronavirus, which was created in a lab and intentionally released, was phase one. And phase two is going to be something released that's far more deadly to push this agenda ahead, and that will be tossed into this mix. So then all of a sudden everybody's going to be back in their houses, everybody's got to wear goggles and tampons in their ears and big masks, and then put on a bio suit. I mean, it's so insane, and the average person is being played, and they need to wake up and take charge of their own existence.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Paul, further thoughts by way of conclusion?
Well, just a reaction to what Giuseppe said. I personally don't fear any kind of second wave of anything. The only thing I fear is whatever they say, the cure, not the disease, but the cure, their prescription is what I fear. And as I've pointed out so many times to so many people, nobody would have voted for this. Nobody would say, let's lock down society and make 99.5 to 99.2% of people's lives miserable, because less than 0.5% might get ill and die of something that makes no sense at all, unless, of course, it's viewed from the point of view of it's an agenda to deconstruct our society, to destroy the existing order so they can bring in the new order.
Well said. Well said, Paul. I think you summed it up very, very nicely. I mean, look, national conventions used to be exciting times. They used to be fascinating. There were all kinds of developments. You'd have reporters moving through the crowd trying to figure out what this faction was going to do, what that faction would do, the consequences, the ramifications. This one is utter boredom. It's pre-recorded. There's no surprise. There's no tension. There's no element of excitement whatsoever. The Democrats have missed, massively missed, totally mismanaged an opportunity to affect the electorate in a positive, constructive way. They have blown it, but they deserved it. They are They have discredited themselves, and they're no longer a party worthy of respect. They have betrayed their obligation to the public. They're not speaking out about the major issues of our time. They're promoting violence against Americans. They're promoting the destruction of our own history. They've embraced cultural Marxism. They deserve to rot in hell. And if they don't get a single vote in this forthcoming election, that will be justice. It's unbelievable.
Well, as a brief addendum, if they go to hell, I hope they can get together with Alan Dershowitz, because you've already damned him there.
And deservedly so, Paul. Nice catch. I agree. I couldn't agree more. Giuseppe, a final thought, words of wisdom?
I think that Paul hit it on the head earlier when he mentioned that all lives matter and no lives matter, because that's the beauty and the challenge of this country. Is life is hard no matter where you exist on this planet. And this country gives you the opportunity to show a little of initiative, get a job, create a plan, and things can go really well for you. But there's so many people who are so entrained by the false god of mass media, the false god of celebrity, the false god of consumption, the false god of getting high, the false god of and everything going on, they've made their own bed and they can't see it that way. And that's who the Democratic Party wants to champion, and it's just ridiculous.
Let me just add as my closing thought, if Donald Trump were a Trojan horse, if Donald Trump were actually playing for the deep state, there would not be this massive effort to get him out of office. They are afraid of him. They are scared shitless. He represents a major threat to the deep state. And I say for that, God bless Donald Trump. I don't believe in God, but he deserves that kind of accolade. I say, I think he's going to bring us through. We shall see. That's a testable hypothesis. I'm right or I'm wrong, and I'll accept whichever turns out to be the case. I'm not going to live a life deluded. The Democrats are suffering from false beliefs, a mass on a scale never before seen. This is the era of propaganda, disinformation, and mass illusion, and we've never seen it on this scale before in this once great country. May he be able to restore some semblance of sanity to the nation, because it's not going to come from any other source, from any other direction. The Democrats have sold their souls. They are irredeemable. It's dumbfounding. It's astonishing. But it's the fact of the matter. And that's where we are today, right here in the USA.
If we're God blessing, let me just do a let's God bless Jim Fetzer in the real deal, the raw deal. All right.
Aren't you nice, Paul?
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mitchell, for being here, my friend. And we'll see y'all next week.
Hasta la vista.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.